That was social psychologist Jonathan Haidt. He is the author of The Anxious Generation. He has also written a graphic novel called The Amazing Generation. The idea is to bring some of his concerns about screens and social media directly to kids, younger ones. His co-author is Catherine Price.
Initially, the assumption was that it would be The Anxious Generation written for young readers, young readers edition of The Anxious Generation. And what I tried to bring to that is, okay, well, how do we translate that into a concept and language that actually kids get excited about?
Catherine's previous book was The Power of Fun. Together, they came up with a plan to make the topic of getting off screens more intriguing.
So we framed it as this battle between the tech wizards who want to control people's time and attention and essentially steal their lives from them from under their noses versus these young people who are choosing a different path. These wizards, these technology wizards, created these magical stones that they convinced all of us to pick up at some point and just said that our lives were going to be better. We were going to get more friendship and more freedom and more fun if we all picked up these stones. And so we all did. And before long, everybody was just staring at these stones all day long. And then the second part of the story is that there are a number of young people, a growing number of young people, who have recognized what is happening and have decided, I actually don't want to live that way. Mm-hmm. And so they are, in our telling and also in reality, they are the brave group of young people who are actually saying, no, I want to choose a different path. And I think one of the reasons that it's working, because, you know, we were very worried about this being cheesy, but I think is that it's true. We are all engaged in this battle for our attention.
I think one of the frustrations I have had is that we say to kids, like, put down your phone. Oh, my gosh, you're on your phone so much. But we don't give them many suggestions as to what to do once they put down their phone. And that's what I loved about your bringing your fun mentality into this book. So Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the personal story on my end is I'd written How to Break Up With Your Phone. You know, it came out in 2018, very much to solve my own problem because I had noticed I was spending more time on my phone than I wanted to, especially when I was with my daughter, who was then a baby. But then I ended up uncovering this other problem, which is that I reclaimed time from my devices. I realized, oh my goodness, I need to have something to fill this time. And I ended up signing up for a guitar class because I had a guitar. I'd always said I wanted to learn it, but I'd never gotten around to it. And that opened up this entire community of people to me, but it also led to me having this feeling, this kind of magically energetic feeling. That sounds so woo-woo. I don't mean it that way.
No, I get it.
Just this like joy and this release and the sense of freedom and connection and happiness all rolled into 1 hour and a half class where, you know, it was a bunch of other parents and me strumming basic chords on the guitar and trying to sing like the theme song to Moana. Like we were not trying to be professionals. And it was this feeling of just buoyancy that you probably hear in my voice. Like it stayed with me for days after this class. And I got very curious about what is that feeling that I am experiencing. And it took me this embarrassingly long time to recognize that the best word to describe that feeling was fun.
So what is this feeling that we call fun?
Here's Catherine Price on the TED stage.
Well, when people tell me their stories about fun, it's really interesting because the details are all different and often quite mundane, but the energy running through them is the same. And there are three factors that are consistently present. And those three factors are playfulness, connection, and flow. So by playfulness, I do not mean you have to play games or, God forbid, make believe. I just mean having a lighthearted attitude of doing things for the sake of doing them and not caring too much about the outcome, letting go of perfectionism. When we have fun, our guard is down and we're not taking ourselves too seriously. Connection refers to the feeling of having a special shared experience. And I do think it's possible in some circumstances to have fun alone and for this feeling of connection to be with yourself or the surroundings or the activity. But in the majority of stories that people tell me about their peak fun memories, another person is involved. And that's true even for introverts. And then flow is the state where we are so engaged and focused on whatever we're doing that we can even lose track of time. You can think about an athlete in the middle of a game or like a musician playing a piece of music. It's when we're in the zone. Now, it's possible to be in flow and not have fun, like if you're arguing, but you cannot have fun if you're not in flow.
Just to bring it back to your children's book and The Amazing Generation, I feel like If you'd had this conversation with me in the 1970s or 80s, I would have been like, what are you talking about? But the fact that we have to talk about having fun and deciphering what is true or fake fun, tell me why you think we need to do that and how you do explain it to kids.
Yeah, so we use the word fun all the time in all of these different contexts that don't tap into that deep, joyful feeling. So fake fun is the term I came up with to refer to the feeling we get from these other activities, the stuff that's marketed to us as fun, quote unquote, but doesn't produce playful connected flow. In the book, we talk about how the tech wizards promised people of all ages, as I alluded to earlier, that you would have more friendship, you know, connect with your friends. That's part of many of those companies' mission statements, more freedom and more fun. But if you really think about it critically, it's not real friendship. Having, you know, a follower is not the same as having a friend. It's much more rewarding to be in person with your friends and to have real relationships. And it's not really that free to be tethered to an app. And then it's not fun. I mean, based on the research I'd done for my adult book, the scrolling through social media is not, even if you're like laughing at a meme, it's not actually fun. Like fun happens in real life with other people. So we really wanted to draw this distinction for kids so they could see what's happening more clearly. And I've been actually really impressed by how thoughtful and astute kids have been at very young ages. And just as one concrete example, I have a friend whose kid was very into Fortnite. I think he said he played 650 hours in a year. He read the book and then he's fifth grade. He said to his mom, you know, I really like Fortnite, but I'm not sure it's a hobby. I want to have more hobbies. And now they're going regularly to the climbing gym as a family. His mom said she feels like now they're on the same side for the first time about screens. And it's not that he doesn't ever play Fortnite or he doesn't want to be on screens, but he actually has been able to, you know, stop using it without a conflict and actually ask for help in finding more real hobbies. That one just gave me chills. I just thought that was so cool.
So let's talk us through how do we get more fun in our lives? Because I do think part of the appeal, obviously, of screens is the convenience. It's inertia, right? Sure is easier to look at my phone than schlep, get my coat on my hat, drive somewhere, deal with, like, you know, finding a parking spot. Pants, exactly, that alone. But you have ideas about how to get more fun into your life.
So when I think about how do you have fun, I think of it from two different angles. I think about it from a spontaneous fun side, and then I think of it from engineered fun. So the spontaneous side is basically opening yourself up to and noticing opportunities for little bits of playfulness and connection and flow. I remember a guy telling me a story about his memory of true fun. He was sitting on a park bench with his nephew, and they were just trying to catch leaves as they fell off a tree. Like, they did that for, he said, an hour, and it was so fun, and they were giggling. And I was like, oh my God, I love that so much, because you just gave me, it's like metaphorically exactly what I'm talking about. There's opportunities for fun floating in the air all the time. We just have to be better about reaching out and grabbing them. So that's kind of like spontaneous fun. On the other side, it's hard to have fun. It's much harder because we are so busy. So the other side is to actually say, okay, let's actually do, this is where I'm going to get dorky, an analysis of like what I call your fun magnets. Fun magnets are a term, it's a term I came up with to help people figure out what to prioritize in your very busy life. So they are the people, the places, and the activities that typically bring a feeling of fun to you. So it's okay. Like a friend you always have fun with when you're together, or it's a setting
where
you're
really fun. Uh-huh.
She's really fun. Yeah. Or like a setting, like for me, it's like summer camps or lakes. Those are two fun magnets for me. Like a setting where you're like, oh, that I consistently have fun when I'm in that context. And then activities, Okay. Obviously, are activities that often lead to you having fun. And the reason I think that's really useful for adults is that our lives are very busy. But yes. If you know what your fun magnets are, you actually can carve out time for them in your schedule. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to have fun. But if you're like, all right, I'm going to prioritize, in my case, for example, I'm going to prioritize playing music with friends because I know that that is a fun magnet for me. So you can use your fun magnets to carve out time and be a little bit more specific about how you are spending your limited leisure time in hopes that it will lead to true fun. But at very least, you're probably going to end up with some playfulness or connection or flow, and you're going to feel a lot better than if you had spent that time scrolling on the couch or answering your work email.
So get off the phone.
Get off the
phone.
Go
find your fun magnet. Get out of here. That was Catherine Price. She's the co-author of The Amazing Generation, Your Guide to Fun and Freedom in a Screen-Filled World. You can see her full talk at TED.com. Thanks so much for listening to our show this week. If you are a subscriber of NPR Plus, you can hear more of my conversation with Maximilian Milovidov in our bonus episode that's coming out next week. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone, Phoebe Lett, and Fiona Guerin. It was edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour, James Delahousie, and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes Matthew Cloutier, Harsha Nahada, and Rachel Faulkner-White. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our audio engineers were Damian Herring and David Greenberg. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Roxanne Hilash, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you have been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.